Okay, we're back with another investor success story. We got Jordan Heckman from Jordan Station Design.
That's right.
Right. And at Jordan Station Design, you're designing homes, custom homes.
We are.
Doing plans for like conversion projects, duplex conversions, triplex conversions, garden suites, anything else?
Yeah, we're doing larger multi-unit stuff, so even 8, 10 plus units.
Wow. Okay, so that's the stuff I want to talk about. But before we get into all the nitty-gritty and cool real estate stuff, tell me a story. I know you real estate guys and all have crazy stories, and I want to hear them, especially to start with.
Yeah, sounds good. So, I mean, we had an interesting one come up. This is on it's a custom build that we've got going on Lake Erie. They started digging for foundations a couple weeks ago. We got a call a couple hours in that site got shut down. Excavator actually found human remains on site. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So they shut the whole thing down. Police got called. Turns out Aboriginal descent. The site's shut down for a year plus right now. Didn't even get a day into construction on that one.
So it was bones?
Yeah.
Full skull,
everything. Everything.
How did they know it was Aboriginal?
So they did some testing, I guess. They had the coroner came out, tested the age of it, and just based on that, they've determined there was some history of other bodies found in the area.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So this is Lake Erie, like, towards Port Colborne, kind of?
Actually, closer to Port Dover.
Oh, Port Dover.
Yeah, yeah.
So was this going to be, like, a residential, commercial type?
Yeah, this is basically a summer home from one of our clients.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a cool story, but for the owner, investor, whatever, that's probably not the greatest thing they want to happen.
No.
Because now they can't build.
Yeah, they can't build right now. There's three different Aboriginal groups that are coming out to take a look at it. And there's basically three ways that it can go. They can move the body to a cemetery. They can create a new cemetery locally for it. Or they'll deem the site a cemetery and they'll basically not be able to build anything.
Yeah, if that was like Native Indian Mafia, I could see them getting a little payoff to make not make it a cemetery. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into the logistics of that. But yeah, that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've had some bodies to, not Aboriginal, but we've had a few situations where, how do I put this properly? People have ended their own life in rental properties. Hangings, stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. When you're like trying to rent it out. And
that's
then
terrifying.
You go show it the next time and then you come across this.
You're not getting that out of the news either.
No. No. But yes, it's not obviously not a good story. And we're not even, not that we're laughing at it, but it's hard not to like say what the is going on here.
Yeah.
When that happens. And it doesn't stop you from getting the house rented though.
No.
It does create some stigma and you have to tell people.
It is what it is. You got to find a way to move forward, right?
It is what it is. And if you, what did one of the cops tell me one time? I'm like, man, that sucks. I'm like, do you guys know the house now? Do you guys talk about it with all the other police officers? He's like, yeah, but there isn't a house on the street that someone hasn't died in. I'm like, yeah, over 100 years.
100%. Really. Yeah. It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, okay, so tell us about yourself, what you do, where you got started, and what you're doing now.
Yeah, no, thanks. So I grew up in St. Catharines, basically lived there until the end of high school, moved to Ottawa, went to Ottawa U for, believe it or not, math and physics, and then geology, and then I realized, like, what the heck am I doing?
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Then it's just, okay, I wanted to get into architecture. I always wanted to. Ended up working for a home builder for a little while, building houses, and then went back to school. Went back to Algonquin College for 3 years. Met my wife after that while working at the Keg. She was from Grimsby, so she convinced me to move back here. Ended up working for a really large multidisciplinary firm for five years.
You were still in Ottawa?
Yeah, I met her in Ottawa.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And she convinced me to move back.
Probably a good idea.
My parents were really happy. I didn't want to leave, but
really? You liked
Ottawa?
I
loved Ottawa.
Really?
Yeah, it's an amazing city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear always it's one or the other.
You got to deal with the cold. Like, you get used to it.
Yeah, I'm already leaning one way.
I'm a beach guy, but I liked it because I went out and snowboarded 2 times a week after work. So
yeah, if you like that part,
yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
So
then you started working for another architectural firm?
Yep. Yeah, in St. Catharines. I worked there for about 5 years. Ended up making the decision to go out on my own in 2019. Mm. Started Jordan Station Design Co. out of my basement, just me. Yeah, through the years, like we expanded really quickly. We gained a really good reputation for what we did. At the height of it, we were at 9 people. We're at 7 right now. We trimmed down a little bit, trying to refocus what we're actually like really interested in working on. And yeah, we've just been known now for obviously big custom homes, big additions, but we've always had this like big market share of the investment design. I think we've done well over 350 conversions.
Really?
In the last 5 years. Yeah.
And mostly like the duplex conversion type of style.
Duplex, triplex, yeah.
And yeah. That's Hamilton, or sorry, Niagara and Hamilton, or just mostly Niagara?
We've worked all over Niagara, Hamilton, London, Kitchener, Chatham.
Really?
Yeah, we've done them all over the place.
And where's the, since you're in Niagara, I would assume most of it's probably in Niagara?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Welland, like heavily, probably 200 in Welland. Really? Alone. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, we've done most of them there.
Yeah, I have a few properties in Welland. No conversions,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. But you're also doing custom homes.
Yep.
So that's someone knocking down their house and building whatever they want or adding like major additions, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how did you move into the conversion stuff? Was it just by fluke, or did you want to go there?
It was a fluke, to be honest. We picked up one job. I met a guy, I'm sure most people know him, named Koken Unasawa. He's a realtor.
Yeah.
And I did a YouTube video way back in 2020 with him. And people still to this day, when they come to us for conversions, yeah, I saw you on YouTube with Koken. And it just turned out that like through that network, obviously through Rockstar, through a couple other agents in the Niagara region, we just gained this kind of traction doing investment-based realty. And it's interesting, like we've loved it because it's so fast paced. Mm. Like there's no messing around. There's no waiting. It's quick decisions. Like we can move really quickly and we can get things going quickly.
So. Yes, yeah, it seemed like the universe aligned there and mm-hmm. there was demand for it. And the mm-hmm. cities were like, hey, well, not open doors, but at least open windows and
yeah.
get it done. Mm-hmm. Let's make it easier.
Yeah.
And everyone benefited.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we were really lucky. We built some really strong relationships with the municipalities just based on the sheer volume of projects we were bringing through them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how do you, I ask all these planner guys this kind of stuff. How do you rationalize the mindset with some of these municipalities? Because for me as an investor, yes, I'm fighting with them for development projects and this and that, but I can't understand why there's such a disconnect between, say, a Welland, who's generally, I'd say, from my perspective, easier to work with.
Very easy.
They're welcoming. They yeah. want development.
Yep.
And then St. Catharines, which is such a great place to invest, but they make it so difficult. From your perspective, what the hell's going on?
I don't know. There's a disconnect between provincial legislation and the expectations of the municipality. I think it's a little bit of a not in my backyard mentality. Mm. I think that traditionally Welland's always been a very rented city, right? Like it's been majority renters there. St. Catharines, not so much. I think it's a little bit more of a mix. I think it's building a little bit more traction now that there's more renters than owners. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that's something to do with it, but there's certainly a huge disconnect.
Yeah, and I can't figure out whether it's like a top-down thing or there's some bottleneck in the staff. Like, I don't understand. And, mm-hmm. like, I almost wanted to write a letter to the mayor. Like,
yeah.
like, you're doing yourself a disservice. Like, people want to invest here.
Yes.
And build houses and some rentals and some houses. And, mm-hmm. like, you're blocking yourself. It doesn't make any sense.
No, and even with, when you look at, well, we'll pick on St. Catharines because it's easy to pick on, but you think about the housekeeping bylaw amendment that just came out just a little while ago. They had an open house in February where they invited the public. Like our team went out and expressed our concerns with what they were proposing. Just because there's changes being made to detached units, the heights of them, what was allowed and all that. And they took some of the input from the design community, especially because we're working with the people that are trying to invest here. We know what they want. Mm. And we put it out there. We tell them what's legislation saying, because they should be reading it, and what the community is saying, what's actually needed. And it doesn't always translate into actual formal policy.
Yeah, I remember being contacted. Nothing ever came of it, but I got an email from Deloitte or KPMG.
Okay.
Saying they were doing an assessment or survey, something of that nature, with all like developers in St. Catharines, mm-hmm. and they were presenting something to the city. I don't know if that was something the city had ordered or it was just. Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear about it. No.
Yeah, yeah. And they say, hey, we're doing this thing. Would you be willing to give your opinion? I was like, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I'd be willing to give you. I think you know what it is.
Yeah.
And she didn't say nothing, but I don't know whatever came of that. But anyway, okay. So yeah, different, whether there's an opportunity or not, seem to have varying degrees of ease of to work with.
Yeah.
Which is so strange to me. Mm-hmm. So Hamilton, I haven't done as many conversions there, but they went from what my understanding, difficult to like, not easy, but in the middle. And I'm curious on your perspective.
Yeah, I'd say we've probably done close to 30 projects in Hamilton. They've been spread out over the years. And I would say the same thing. The earlier years, it was challenging. Recently, it's just a matter of if you tick the box, you're good. That's it. Just have your ducks in a row. I think that it moves forward quickly. We've done a few minor variances. They've been successful there. It's not the easiest process in Hamilton. Obviously, we're dealing with bigger challenges with their online permit system being down for the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think people know about that. Yeah, so no. I heard about this. It was a hack into their system, which I don't even know how that happens. Mm-hmm. Who would do that? And then their online system is down, so they can't check zoning.
No.
They can't look into history Mm-mm. of zoning.
Nope.
They can't register ownership.
Nope.
Can't do anything.
You can't apply for building permits. You can't. Existing permits that were under review are just gone. And it's all being held ransom right now.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah. Something makes me think that they pissed off the wrong people.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't go there.
No.
Yeah. Hamilton, I always wanted to do, I have several rental properties there, but I always wanted to do more conversions and development stuff there. Mm-hmm. But it's so much harder just because everything's so chopped up there. I find, especially in the core, like everything's all carved up and there's small lots and trying to assemble is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And there's not enough properties with enough width and depth and nothing.
No, there's really constantly challenges. And I think just based on the age of the buildings in the downtown core, especially if you're doing a conversion, single family, the duplex, you want to put something in the basement, like chances are you're underpinning it to make it work. Like you're investing a ton of money into it, right? So it doesn't always make sense. Yeah. We've had some really cool projects here. Like one of the first ones we did, we actually took a bungalow in the core off Ottawa Street and put a second story on it.
Really?
And converted it into a duplex. That thing sold for like almost 900K.
Really?
This was back in like 2021. It's crazy.
Yeah, like there's, and it's not to say anything bad about Niagara because I like Niagara, but I feel like the economics and the opportunity is probably marginally better in Hamilton.
Yeah.
It's just, there's less actual opportunities to do this infill and conversion stuff just because of the nature of the way the city's laid out and built.
Yep.
Which, I mean, it could present better opportunity if you can find it. It's even better, but it's, man, it's a grind trying to make things work.
It is. Yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
It's just a balancing act, right? Like you have, there's so many different factors to look at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you got me thinking about Hamilton again. Yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling, and I guess there's already plans in place for the west side of the lake there.
Oh yeah, like Aldershot area? No, that'd be Burlington.
That's Burlington. Yeah. Not West Bank. No, that's another part of the world. Anyway, like the West Port area, there's going to be a whole redevelopment there.
Oh, that's right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, if it comes to me, I'll mention it. But it seems like there's opportunity for the big guys.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing because I think Hamilton deserves some reinvestment on a big scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the lake, like you have access to the border, Niagara, you got Toronto this way. It's a shame it's taken this long.
Yeah. It's surrounded by highways. It's got sports teams.
You got the farms on the back. You got the mountain, the escarpment.
Yeah.
You could have another sports team there easily if MLSC didn't have what they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we're still alive when that happens, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. And now it's fair to say our markets changed.
Yeah.
I think there was a big change with COVID and then coming out of this, that COVID nonsense, things changed.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen and changed then to now and what's still working, what's not working? I guess it's a broad conversation. I think it's important from your perspective.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of different things happen over the last few years. Obviously during during, we'll call it the COVID era, because it's done, we saw such a huge influx in investment-based work. There's a lot of people doing conversions. Municipalities like Welland that were already allowing three units on a property were huge, right? I think over the last 2023, interest rates really skyrocketed. It scared a lot of people. Things slowed down a lot. What we found was like those single family to duplex or single family to triplex conversions really dropped off. But we found that a lot of investors were teaming up together to take on larger projects. So that's what we got involved with. Like we got involved with like those 10, 12 unit buildings where we had four or five investors that kind of merged together, put their heads together to tackle some of these bigger things.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, we all know about the single family to two unit and three unit conversions.
Yeah.
So that kind of dropped off. I noticed it too, for sure, when interest rates started to creep up, just because the margin wasn't there or wasn't enough to do the work.
Yeah.
To buy the house for X amount of dollars and spend more money to improve it, there wasn't enough of a kick in value to make it work. And that just due to the change in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing people combine and come together to do larger conversion or infill or both?
More conversion, like so adaptive reuse of buildings. Like we're seeing adaptive reuse. Yeah. So taking like old commercial buildings and reusing them, basically like gutting them, reapplying them as residential properties. And it all depends on where you're doing it, the zoning, all of that kind of ties into it. But that's what we've seen a lot more of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You don't have to share names or anything, but like you can give me an example of what that looks like.
Yeah. So we've had a couple. So we've got one in Welland that should be starting construction soon that we took an old three-story photography studio, converted into, I think that was 12 loft units. We went for a variance for no commercial because there's a 10% ground floor commercial requirement. We got denied, took up to OLT, got approved.
Okay, what's OLT?
OLT is Ontario Land Tribunal. So anytime that you get denied through a minor variance, you have the option basically to take it to court and fight it. You got to hire a planner, you have to hire a lawyer. And then they review it in further detail against planning policy.
Mm.
So we were successful in that.
Nice.
It's a long drawn out process, right? Like this started in 2021, I think, or 2022 that we started that. And they're looking at starting construction right now.
Is this that building downtown Hamilton or Welland?
Mm-hmm. Right on the water.
Yeah.
Like on the canal there.
It's like a light browny beigey building.
It's a red brick building, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has like a big sign.
Yeah, there's a big sign on the one side. Yeah,
I think I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we've done some other ones in Welland, too. We did another 10-unit. There's a restaurant on the bottom with rooming houses above. Walked into that place. There was like tens of thousands of used needles. Like, it's crazy. There was a fire in it, too. We did that one a couple years ago. That one we turned into six units, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got another one in Chatham where we've taken a downtown core, same thing, triple wide brick building. It's basically just street frontage and back frontage. We converted it's two stories into 10 units and three commercial.
Really?
So some of the challenge we had was like natural lighting. So we did on the second floor, we did skylights for all the bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no direct windows out, but they have skylights above. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Big ceilings, like 12 foot ceilings in there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So any infill stuff, and for infill, if no one knows what I'm talking about, I'm talking about taking an existing lot, general neighborhood, and building something from scratch.
Yep.
So any of that stuff going on?
Yeah, we've got one on Crook Street in Hamilton where we've got, we tore down the existing. It's on a sloping yard. We're putting a triplex on there.
Interesting.
Super cool, like super modern design. That's a pretty cool one. We've done a few in Welland as well where we've done triplexes on. We've taken like plots of a single family that had an extra wide lot, severed it, took the severed, put a triplex on it, and converted the existing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my cup of tea right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Call me next time you find one of those deals.
We even took a side-by-side semi on a single parcel, severed the property with the house existing on it, and left the existing house in place, did a firewall, but basically redid the firewall, separated the services, and created two separate parcels. Like, value on that is insane.
It's huge.
Yeah.
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 Because you're going from basically a side-by-side duplex to essentially a real semi.
Two semis, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't like some of the direction we've been going lately with government policy and real estate. It doesn't seem like they want to be our friend. But, you know, each time I get pissed off about stupid decisions, an opportunity always presents itself.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like in the last few years, as cash flow has dried up, not because of the quality of our market, but because interest rates have made it difficult. And our market has been so resilient in terms of pricing that, of course, it came down a bit, but not much.
No.
Not crazy. So cash flow has dried up a bit. The infill, small infill development stuff, and some of these conversions that you're talking about, some of the bigger stuff, presented a new opportunity.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to say wasn't there before, but probably wasn't as obvious and maybe not as profitable.
Yeah.
Because when we know when there's a need, there's an opportunity too, right? So we've done several infill projects now. Like I did three on the same street in St. Catharines on Lloyd.
Yep.
I almost wish I did them now because we did semis with ADUs. They could have been could have been triplexes could've now.
Three.
Yeah. Which would have worked out nice, but that's okay. And then we have the projects I was telling you about. Also in Welland, we purchased a lot. We got essentially converted the one lot into three lots, and we're getting a triplex on each.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So that's a no-brainer. And to me, it's a no-brainer, not because of how much money you're going to make. It's because there's a built-in insurance policy. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're doing a development, there is no, it's more risky in a sense than a typical BRRRR type multifamily project, because you can project, you know, how things are going to work out, but there's way more variables, like considerably more. So it almost never works out how you plan. You're plus or minus one way or the other. But for me, the way you create an insurance policy in the investment is by creating multiple exits. So if I'm building this, typically you're going to want to sell it and take your profit and go to the next opportunity.
Yep.
But what if you can't sell? What if interest rates go up? What if the government comes out with another magical policy where it doesn't work?
Yeah.
Well, if you're building triplexes, you're still getting the kick in value enough that it's valuable to the marketplace. That's a high quality property. It's going to create tremendous income.
Yep.
And you'll be able to sell it. But you can always keep it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if that's not your primary intent, it's a pretty good backup plan.
You're as long still as it's cash flowing.
See, the way it works and the way we like to make it work is that you have no choice but the cash flow.
Yeah.
You can't create that type of multifamily project and expect to sell it into a negative cash flow position.
There's no way.
So if you're selling it to another investor and including your profit, and it's going to cash flow. Well, it's going to cash flow better for you because you're maintaining your equity in the property, right? It's a complete no-brainer type deal. So you either win here or you win there, and you maybe your the extraction of your profit equity is delayed, but you still get your seed capital back if you play it right.
Yeah,
I would do those all day.
Yeah,
whether interest rates are high or not.
Yeah,
because people still need to rent, and those are in demand. And I know I'm talking too much now. I think it lends to what you do, because like when in 2018, 19, 20, when the conversion started to go crazy, the recipe is there for this because the lending's there.
Yeah.
CMHC wants it.
That's right.
The government wants it. And with as little as 5 units, you can get CMHC involved and have high leverage. You can get your money out. If you're keeping it, you can cash flow with basically all your money out.
Yeah.
So it works really well. So I'm happy to see that you're doing more, and we want people to do more of this because it works.
It does. Yeah, it really does.
Cool. So you're seeing some infill stuff. You're seeing these adaptive, what is it?
Adaptive reuse.
Adaptive reuse. I'm gonna steal that one from you.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Adaptive reuse, trademarked by Jordan. So any other opportunities that you're seeing people take advantage of?
Yeah, even I wouldn't say it's part of like our investment side of the business, but working with everyday homeowners, what we're seeing a lot right now is like mom and pop got a good property. They've got a single family home. Kids can't afford to buy a house. So sometimes the kids are buying the house for mom and pop. We're building a big addition. Basically, it's a second house. it could be a 1,500, 2,000 square foot addition, mm-hmm. separate garage, separate everything. And we're seeing families starting to congregate like that. We've got one in Waynefleet right now that we've got it's a horse farm, big like ranch bungalow on there. We're adding two additions to it. And the family moved from Florida. Both kids came with mom. Both kids have family and kids. And we've built two separate, basically attached dwellings for them on this property.
Really? So they can stay together, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that happening right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just a result of kind of where prices have gone in the marketplace. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think it's a good thing, too. Not to go loopy on you, but mm-hmm. when I was a kid, there was more of that village mentality around. Mm-hmm. We've gone the complete pendulum has swung yeah. opposite, where yeah. everyone wants their own kind of space. It's not a bad idea to be close to family.
It's not.
As long as you can make it work.
That's right. Yeah.
But shoving people into bedrooms and basements that don't work, right?
That's exactly it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Okay, so infill, adaptive reuse, mm-hmm. families combining and building mm-hmm. massive additions. Mm-hmm. What else? Are you doing anything with your own portfolio? Anything crazy?
I own another business, actually, that we do detached ADUs. Like, we sell them. So we've been doing a lot of that stuff lately.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so explain to me more. So in detached ADU, you're talking about dropping like a pre-made garden suite type of thing.
So we're selling flat pack systems. So basically we're using metal sit panels, so structurally insulated metal panels that come on a transport truck, get dropped in your yard, and these things get clipped together. It's insane. So we've been selling these as garden suites, detached ADUs, however you want to call it. All the same thing, but basically the company that I own with a few other partners, we supply all the panels, the windows, foundation system, helical piles, they go in a day. The exterior shell, the windows and the doors go up in 2 to 3 days. Mm-hmm. Roof, everything finished, done, insulated. And then the inside gets finished in about 40 days. So we're seeing a lot of people going that direction. We have a ton of people that are interested in working with us on it. We're looking at doing developments with them right now. So we're seeing, even in the market, we're seeing municipalities adapting to this smaller lot size mentality to fit more single family homes that are a little bit smaller, maybe the 12 to 13, 1400 square feet with reduced setbacks, less backyard, but like that can actually be intensified a little bit. So we've been seeing that a lot lately too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I have many questions.
Yeah.
Okay. You're basically bringing everything you need to the property.
Yeah.
And you're stitching it together in a couple months.
Assembled. Yeah.
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 Okay. You're laying the foundation how?
Helical piles. So big steel screw piles that get screwed into the ground. Mm-hmm. It's a steel frame that goes on top, gets bolted together. Literally, if you can square a building, you can build this thing. It's like the IKEA of home building.
So you're driving these big screws into the ground. Mm-hmm. And then a steel foundation goes on top of the screws. Steel frame,
yep.
Yeah, so you're basically leveling off these screws to create a flat area, like mm-hmm. my deck in the back there.
Exactly, yeah.
So those are concrete posts that got leveled.
That's right.
Yeah, so you're using steel screws, so that's easier.
Yep.
Should have done that. And then you're pulling the steel foundation, and then everything's going on top of the steel foundation.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah.
That sounds better than concrete. Okay, but what about the servicing? Drain, electrical, plumbing.
Well, it's all pretty typical. It depends on the municipality, how they want it tied in, but it either gets tied into the house. If you have a stack nearby, you can tie into that. Obviously, your sewage is the hardest thing to get out there. It's the amount of drop, location of it, everything. Most municipalities allow you to tie in the front of the house before it gets to the street. Water gets tied in with the existing line, whether it's in the front, like after the meter, or if it's just internally. And then most of these don't bring gas into it, just cost savings. And then typically it's a panel upgrade to 200 amp, and then you pull a 60 amp to the new unit.
Yeah, okay, so I got more questions.
Yeah.
So now the drain, mm-hmm. you can attach to the house. Yep. So what are the mechanics of that? Because I'll tell you why. So what I have two properties that I can do a garden suite tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm not doing it because it's just the economics are not quite there yet.
Yep.
But one of them I had already done the conversion, and then the garden suites came. Mm-hmm. And the other one I did the conversion after the garden suites came. So mm-hmm. while they were breaking the floor in the basement, I'm like, hey, Frank, can you put everything outside now? Mm-hmm. And he did.
It's perfect.
So the drain went out, the electrical went out, amazing. Water went out. So it's there ready to tap.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ready to go. So I don't have to do any of that. I'm like, fuck, thank God. But the other one, if I did it, it's ripe too, because there's a detached garage there. Like it's like I just use the garage. I'm like, how the F am I going to tap into this thing? So I'm thinking, I got to break the floor, make drains, and then I'm like, I'm trying to picture it in my head. Yeah. How am I going to connect from this detached garage in the back right corner to the drain in the basement? Or do I, am I going around the front, digging down, and then tapping the drain there? Like what?
There's so many different factors, right? What kind of driveway do you have? Do you have to cut it up to get to the front? Like, you don't want to do that if you don't. No. I mean, if it's asphalt, whatever. If it's gravel, even better. But if it's concrete, you're not touching it.
No.
So at that point, like, where's your closest stack? Like, a lot of the times the stacks are stuck at the back or at the front of the house. So that depends on location of that. That ties into it.
Okay, so let's say the stack's at the back of the house.
Yeah.
Which I think it is anyway. Mm-hmm. So if the stack's at the back of the house, I'm still busting through the foundation.
You got to core through the foundation. So you dig out from the outside and core like a 5-6 inch hole. You have to get access to your stack, and then you can just cut in a Y. Right, put it through the foundation, pack it back with concrete, and
so from the back garage, I'm going down through the backyard. Mm-hmm. Probably have to remove part of my deck,
potentially.
Yeah, and then dig down, cut a hole through the foundation, make sure it's sealed afterward, and tapping into the drain, and then sealing it all back up, putting the deck, and then that's a big job.
This is a conversation we have with investors all the time. Like, when we're doing, we've got 4 or 5 single family, the duplex conversions we're working on right now. Almost every single one of them have an opportunity for a detached unit, but these investors don't have the cash flow to do that right now. But we're trying to educate them. If you have any inkling that you're going to do this down the road,
move it out.
Just do it now. Like, it's going to cost you a couple grand.
Yeah.
It's just
versus smart 20 planning. Grand later.
Yeah. It's just smart planning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I get it. That, now I'm so thankful I did it on that one property. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, I could see that being an obstacle for people.
Yeah.
Because
it can be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest thing we're seeing as an obstacle, though, on that side of the market, we talk to a lot of people about this stuff, but there's no financial programs in place to do this work unless you have cash or you have access to an LLC. And I think the government came out with, we'll call it, some help recently with a $40,000 low interest loan. Yeah. It's not getting you anywhere, but I think it's a step in the right direction. But that's, we've been talking to a lot of banks about trying to implement programs for this. We've talked to CMHC.
Yeah.
We're actively working on it, but.
And that's why I said the economics don't work yet. Because it's like, it's, I don't mind putting out the cash, but I need to see the cash be returned or a pathway for it to be returned within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
If I'm just leaving the cash there, fine. That means I have a ton of excess cash. Will I get a return on that cash with the extra rent? Yeah. But it's a slow return. Typically, I want to see my money come back.
Because the appraisals aren't there for them yet. No. There's not enough properties that have been sold with them.
No, it's not picking up as quickly as a duplex conversion. I didn't ever expect it to. I guess with what we're going through now with interest rates, it's going to slow down.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense. Yeah, that's the unfortunate part.
Yeah, it's like the policy's in place to do this, but they haven't figured out, like the big banks haven't figured out the financing side of it.
So I figure if you have to drop in services for this ADU, maybe I budget somewhere to 15 to 25 grand.
I would say 15-ish, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, okay, I got to
move it. You got to take a deck out.
I got to move a deck. I got to go through a fence.
Yes, exactly.
I got to break up this and that, right?
Yep.
That's why I'm saying 15 to 25. And then what, you guys, I know you guys hate this question. So what does it cost to put in one of these ADUs? And my brain, excuse me, works on per square foot.
Yep.
So if I'm building a 600 square foot ADU, that's a 1+1 maybe?
That's the size of, we have a 2-bedroom, 600 square foot one.
Okay, 2-bedroom.
And like our finish cost on that, when we've done them, is about $230. And they're getting about $2,200 in rent.
That's fair.
It's insane.
That's totally fair.
Yeah, cash flow's on its own.
Yeah, $230 is fair.
Yep.
Because, where's my phone? So $230. I'm even going to say 250.
Yeah.
Divided by 600 square feet. That's about $400 a square foot. And that sounds like a lot of money, but when you're factoring in doing the servicing and the ease of the build and how quick it is.
That's the biggest part. It's the speed.
The speed part, it makes sense. And you're not going to get a low square footage cost per square foot on 600 square feet.
Like once you get up to 1,000 or 1,200 square feet, that square foot cost goes down to 300, like 270 even.
Of course.
Because you're still putting a bathroom in, you're still putting a kitchen in, you're still doing HVAC, electrical, like yeah, the big ticket items don't change.
Of course, because inside 600 square feet, mm-hmm. you're getting bathroom, kitchen, everything condensed.
Yeah.
So it's high. You don't have as much living area to bring the cost down.
That's right.
And no garage or no nothing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. No hallways, no stairs. Mm-hmm. Right. So yes, it feels like more. But for those who are not experienced with building, they're like, oh my God, $400 a square foot. Mm-hmm. But like when you factor it in, it's not crazy. We've had some of these guys come in from Toronto and they didn't want to answer the question. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so that's a great example there. It's a 1+1. Mm-hmm. 480 square feet, okay. And what does it cost? What does it cost per square foot? Well, it depends. I'm like, well, no, it doesn't depend.
You gotta have the answer. Like,
I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
Don't treat me like a child.
Yeah.
I know it depends. From foundation up, which is the same every time.
That's right.
What does it cost? They don't want to answer. And then you figure out that it's like 400 grand. And I'm like, bro.
That's exactly
it. I get it. You want to make money. It's fair. I'm not judging you. But if you're talking to investors, it's not... You can't have this conversation because you have to skip the numbers. Like, if you want to build it for mom and she's going to live in there, I don't blame you. Like, sure. It's fine.
Yeah.
But for this application, it doesn't make sense.
No.
So that's totally workable. That's workable.
And that's what we've seen. I've done lots of detached ADUs. Like, I don't think we've ever had one under 400K before I started this business. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Nobody can touch that pricing. And I think the big thing is the timelines. Like, you're getting this thing completely finished in 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. You build that thing traditionally, you're 8 months, like, minimum.
If you're lucky.
yeah. Right? So, like, you take that into consideration, too. So, if you're financing it on private financing at 10, 12%, right? Think about that over 2 months versus 10 months.
Yeah.
I think there's a huge savings there, too.
Yeah. And then you get it rented. It's producing income.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's that company called?
FlexoBuild.
Flex,
yep,
and build.
Oh, build.
Flex O build.
Yep, all one word.
FlexoBuild.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
FlexoBuild.com. Right.
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
Yeah. We'll check it out. Maybe I'll give you a couple to do. Yeah. when we can refi out here.
Exactly.
Now, I guess thinking back to even some of the clients I sent you, mm-hmm. Do you see people using? Or reusing, adaptive reuse, mm-hmm. a detached garage too.
All the time.
Yeah,
right? All the time.
Because it's like, easy.
It's so easy. Like, it provided the slab's in good condition and it's structurally sound, so many people are doing that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Why not? Yeah. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. The biggest thing is setbacks, like garage setbacks versus like ADUs tend to vary. Sometimes there's variances required. It all depends, but it's all part of our due diligence that we work with our clients on. But yeah, a 20, 25 by 25 garage, 20 by 20. Man, we've done like 16 by 20 garages turned into like bachelor suites.
Yeah. Like, I'm always, correct me if I'm wrong, like mm-hmm. you could always blow out a wall and extend it too.
100%.
Yeah. There's nothing. It's just a slab.
Yeah. No, it's easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe this is a tough question, but if you were building the slab and stick frame from scratch versus mm-hmm. reusing the garage... What are you saving there? Are you saving 10-15%?
60K. Yeah.
So 60K on 200,000 or 250, 25%.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we sent you a couple guys like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've done that. And it varies too. Like sometimes it's an attached garage. Sometimes it's detached. It depends. Mm-hmm. We've done both. We've done like conversions of barns into... ADUs before, like we've done some weird stuff.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, you're seeing back to the business, back to Jordan Station. Mm-hmm. You're seeing business kind of pick back up from
it is
last year.
Yeah,
we're seeing the same.
Yeah, we're seeing people, like I was saying before, we're seeing people move into areas like Niagara Falls that was traditionally very difficult to get these to work in. They've done a housekeeping amendment to their bylaws too that make it much easier to do, you know, basement suites and multi-units. St. Catharines, we're starting to see people come out with detached units as well, now that they're allowing that. I think it comes into play like mid next month or something like that, but we're seeing more people looking at that. Yeah. And then we were talking about Chatham. Like, Chatham's got an interesting market right now, too.
Yeah, Chatham. I know a guy out there in Chatham. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. he's buying a lot of multifamily. I just don't understand the economics behind it. I'm like, who's renting there? Where do they work? Like,
it's big industrial companies that are moving out there, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. So that's like kind of the industry. They have so much land around there.
Yeah.
But that's the stuff that's being wide open up. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's look into the future here. Mm-hmm. So I think FlexoBuild, that's part of your future.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
I think that's a mm-hmm. nice play you got going on there. I don't know what the name.
Flexible. I don't know. You can't forget it.
I'm just bugging you. Actually, yeah.
You can't forget it.
You can't forget it. No. Sounds like a 1960s like kind of thing. Yeah. That's actually, it's growing on me now.
Yeah.
But what do you see, we're in Ontario. Where do you see stuff going in Ontario? Are we going to keep seeing this infill stuff? What's from your perspective, where do you see this stuff going?
The way that I'm seeing it right now, I think that any future development that's going to happen, whether it's infill development style communities or anything like that, it's all going to be based around multi-unit properties. Like, we're already seeing it. Port Colborne's got a development going in that every single family home, it's not single family, it's a triplex. It's set up for it.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking
about. Stuff like that happening. The adaptive reuse, we'll go back to that. That's going to be pretty heavy, I think, over the next 10 years because there's a lot of commercial space that's being underutilized. There's costs involved with it. There's additional studies that need to be done, but I think there's a lot of potential. It also tends to be properties that are in a downtown core, like where we want to start bringing people in, right? But then again, municipalities like St. Catharines, like, they want people in the downtown core, but they haven't taken into consideration. There's no gas stations. There's no grocery stores. There's nothing that's like, they need to develop that side of things to actually engage people in that core. But I think that's where we're going to start seeing stuff happen.
Yeah. Man. Now you bring up a funny story. I know a guy and he's like, his mom, there's a new condo going up there.
Yeah.
And his mom, and this guy's a heavy real estate guy. And he's like, my mom's, why don't I get a condo there? I can be closer to you and this and that. And he's, ma, where are you going to go to the grocery store?
Yeah.
And there's crackheads on the street. And that's not saying anything bad about St. Catharines. It's just the truth. Like, they got to bring in the police in there, clean it up, some gas stations, some shopping, and or else.
Basic services are needed, right?
Like, I get it.
It's such a key thing. I think like some of these larger condos that are going in might start turning that over. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but there's so much vacant commercial real estate in the downtown core of St. Catharines that has huge potential.
Tremendous.
Huge potential.
I think St. Catharines can be another, it can be another Hamilton hub.
It can.
Yeah. I'd like to see some more employment.
100%. Yep.
Around there, but yeah, it's got huge potential. I hope they figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. So more of the same.
I think the single families, single family conversion to duplexes are going to slow down a little bit. I think if anybody's going to be doing that, it's going to be minimum to triplex. Take advantage of it. I think that's where it's going to cash flow. But I think the larger stuff is probably going to be more apt over the next little while.
Okay. And what's your take on economics right now? Where do you see interest rates going? I know you may not be an economist, but just your opinion, what do you see happening and what's going on?
I think they're going to sit for a little while. I think 3 years from now, we'll probably be in a bit different situation. I think it'll be dropped a bit. It's never going back to the 2-3%, not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Like, I think that 4-4.5% is probably realistic in the next couple of years. My mortgage gets renewed today and it's being renewed at like 5.7 on a 3-year term, right? So I figured, I've always been on a variable.
You too.
I said, you know what? I'm not going to do anything the next 3 years. I'm going to go fix, see what actually happens with it. I think that it's probably a good move for me. But I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I think a lot of people are just like sitting on their hands waiting for interest rates to drop. I don't think it's going to happen fast.
Yeah, I think it's a poor decision. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know that they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. And they have to at some point, but they're doing other things to delay it.
Yeah.
So they have some other levers to pull.
Yeah.
And they have to keep it at a reasonable rate to absorb all the inflation they created. Don't get me started. So yeah, I wouldn't expect things to go ever back down to 2%, at least not for the foreseeable future.
No.
But I always said, if we get back down to like seeing interest rates at 3.99 or 4.25,
it'd be amazing.
I think that's a healthy spot.
I think so too.
I really do.
Yeah.
You might not get the crazy appreciation, but mm-hmm. you, if you're a smart investor, you mm-hmm. don't need that.
No.
To make good money.
No.
And then let me say the right word. All the people out there screaming that investors are the bad people, those kind of speculators who are the ones speculating and mm-hmm. who you think is bad, mm-hmm. we're the ones creating housing.
That's exactly it. Nobody else is doing it.
No one else is doing it.
Yeah.
Those speculators can't do what they do, mm-hmm. or at least they have to be very sophisticated
yeah.
to do that.
Yep.
And those bad investors run away, can't do what they do. So mm-hmm. I think that's a healthy place to be.
I think so too.
Someone commented on my YouTube. I made some video about this, the whole capital gains tax change.
Yeah.
And I think they're genuine. I don't think anyone's stupid or silly or anything like that. But they're like, oh, yeah, the government's stupid and this and that. But investors are greedy. And I'm like, well, it's one or the other. You can't.
Yeah.
Like, who did you expect to create housing for you? You want the That's guy you thing. Think is a moron, Justin Trudeau, you want him to create housing? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, you want to lean on this guy.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, you tell me how that goes. Yeah. But we're the ones creating housing. Yes, there's some mm-hmm. guys out there buying condos and selling them for $100,000 more. Yeah, well, that's just, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. All I'm saying is if the market allows for it, mm-hmm. people are going to do it.
That's what the market needs, right?
Yeah.
Like it's going to go whatever way it goes.
And I didn't bring the rates down to 2%.
No.
Your buddy did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Investors have been creating housing for 200 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you think is going to do that for you.
Well, think about it. Like all these big developers, right? Like the guys that are doing
they're pissed.
500 units, they're not building anything because they can't sell it. It's not affordable. Like it's just not moving. So outside of that, like what are your other options?
I have a few videos on this and like a good friend of mine, a guy who sells a lot of pre-construction condos, he sent me the breakdown of a typical Toronto condo, let's say, and where all the money goes.
Yeah.
And long story short, the margin, regardless of the size, I'm talking big stuff,
yeah,
is somewhere in the range of 7 to 13%. Go in the middle, a 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You think you're building a $200-300 million building. Yeah. Your margin's 10%. Mm-hmm. If you shave off 5% off that, they're not going to build.
No way. It's not worth it. It's too much risk.
They're just not going to build.
Yeah, it's way too much risk.
Who would do that for 5%?
No.
You're insane.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So, and then the worst part about it is that when you break it all down, the government in general, all levels of government,
are
making more money than the developer.
Mm-hmm. Look at the development fees.
Inclusionary zoning and the development charges, which mm-hmm. always go up, and this and that, and all the other crap that goes, and HST, the biggest Ponzi scheme scam on earth. And then you have people crying that it's the investor. And it's, man, it's not that you're not smart. It's just you're not educated to understand, to see this. Because if you saw this and understood it, you'd be looking to Ottawa and saying, hey, bro. Yeah.
What the fuck?
You know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what else do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Did we get through most of our list there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got it all. Anything else you want to mention?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it. I got a gift for you.
No, oh, thanks.
One second. I got to find it, though.
Right on.
That's your money tree.
Money tree. I love it.
So you can plant that.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
$100 bills.
Thank you.
And I think we covered everything in good detail. And, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Go on our website, www.jordanstationdesignco.com, and you can book a consultation right on there.
Jordan Station Design
Co.
Jordan Station Design Co.
Yep.
.com. Okay, we'll put that in the notes.
Yep.
And then they can
book. .ca. I should know that.
Edit jordanstationdesignco.ca.
Yeah. That's right.
And they can book a
consultation
right on the website.
Right through there.
Okay.
Yeah. Super easy.
All right. Want to leave it there?
Sure.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Enjoy the money tree.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. That's it.
That was awesome.